Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Jesse Green here. Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Today, we're going to be having a conversation around systems and their application in business. But more broadly, I'd like to have a conversation around structure. You see, it's my firm view that structure in a business sets the business free, and in particular, sets the business owner free. And so for anyone looking to transition from traditional owner-operator models to one of true business ownership, having structure in the business is absolutely critical. Now, when it comes to structure, most people kind of bang the systems drum. They beat that drum pretty hard and march to its mantra of systems, systems, systems. Now, I have a different view to that. I think having a level of systems is completely appropriate, but it's not the only way to get structure into the business. People often point to McDonald's as the most successful systemized business, and there is no doubt that it is A, incredibly systemized, and B, incredibly successful as a restaurant. The difference between McDonald's and a dental practice, of course, however, is that McDonald's are making a hamburger and they're producing something as a run-of-the-mill assembly line production. Unlike dentistry, which requires different levels of finesse, different levels of emotional intelligence, different levels of care, and each situation is, of course, subtly different from the next. So when it comes to McDonald's, ultimately McDonald's, even though they train their staff incredibly well, what they're employing their staff for is essentially labor, their arms and legs. And in a dental practice, we need our team to bring more than just their labor. We need them to bring their hearts, their minds, their emotional intelligence, their intellectual intelligence, amongst other things as well. So having so many systems in place can actually stifle that creativity, that individualism, and that care that patients absolutely need to have a great dental outcome, because it's not just about the filling, it's also about the patient experience. So let's talk about structure as a general concept to begin with, because structure provides consistency for the business. It allows patients to receive a high level of care from one day to the next, knowing that it's going to be great day in, day out. Consistency also gives the opportunity for the business owner to take some time away from the practice, meaning that they transition from owner-operator to true business owner, such that they can have the business operate successfully without them having to make every little decision, make every little telephone call, make every paper, file, dotted, ticked, crossed, whatever needs to happen. So it gives the business owner the opportunity to take some time away. And that's great as well, because it allows the team to step up and grow and develop as well. And when all of this happens, the practice absolutely rocks. It's in flow, it's going well. And when it comes to documenting all these things, we're building the intellectual property assets of the practice. And those intellectual property assets have real tangible value. So there is certainly a good argument for having structure in place. My argument, though, is that structure comes in multiple forms, and systems or standard operating procedures is just one form of structure. And we need to look a little more broadly than that. So today I wanted to have a conversation around two types of structure. The first one is the concept of an SOP or a standard operating procedure. And we use standard operating procedures in the Practice Max group for task-based processes. So for instance, if there's a task such as ensuring that the lab work leaves the practice, gets to the lab and comes back on time, that's a task, that's a process, and it's a very step-by-step process. And in essence, you list it out as almost like a checklist. So you might have a description around the task or the process, why it's important, who's involved, who's got responsibility for it. And then you go through the steps and outline very clearly, one step after the other, how to do that particular process. And so as an example of that, we have a framework called the Speedy SOP framework. And really, it should take no more than 2 minutes or so to document a task. The key thing to understanding this is understanding the difference between tasks and anything that involves human interaction. We need a different process for that. So if anything requiring human interaction requires there to be some flexibility as well as some structure. So we need a structure that means that the process, you know, goes through and achieves the outcome. But there needs to be some flexibility built into that so that the individual who is interacting with another person has the ability to respond depending on how the communication or the conversation goes. And so we call that a framework. And ultimately what we're allowing is the framework to provide some structure and the individual within that can freestyle and achieve the same outcome, but in a way that is authentic, congruent, and natural for them. So just to recap, having SOPs is terrific for your tasks. And as I said, an example of that would be, you know, ensuring lab work leaves the practice and comes back on time. And it should take no more than 2 minutes or so or 3 minutes to write an SOP. Of course, the person to write the SOP or best person to write the SOP is the person who actually completes the job. On the other hand, when you are having interaction with human beings, frameworks provide structure as well as flexibility. And the frameworks that we use, for instance, are ones that you might have for asking for a referral. It could be for how to handle a price inquiry. Anything like that where there's a human interaction or a conversation, I find that frameworks are infinitely superior to scripts or structure that is too rigid. And the reason for that, of course, is because the patient doesn't know that there's a script. The patient doesn't know that they're meant to respond in a certain way so that we can have verbal ping pong. So what I thought I might do to give you guys a head start on that is at the end of the podcast, I'm going to include an SOP for the lab work that I shared with you, as well as a framework for asking for referrals. And you'll see exactly how these systems and frameworks work together to give the structure that a business needs to ensure consistency of delivery, to ensure that the dentist and the owners have time to have time away from the practice, and also to make sure the patients receive, you know, terrific care day in, day out, and ultimately all of those things coming together so that the practice is really rocking along. So just a short little episode today, understanding the difference between SOPs, standard operating procedures, and frameworks, both of which will add structure to your practice, both of which will add intellectual property assets to your practice, both of which, when accessed by the team, will really ensure that the practice moves fluidly, smoothly, and effectively and profitably day in, day out. So I hope you find that helpful. Look forward to talking to you soon. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.